Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Wednesday, February 10th, 2016. I'm Jason Powell, joined today by Jake Barnett, and it's another crazy Wednesday in the world of professional wrestling. The news coming out this morning that Titus O'Neil has been suspended up to 90 days for grabbing Vince McMahon playfully at the end of the Daniel Bryan segment. I don't think this actually aired on Raw. Memory serves, because I did see it, didn't think a whole lot of it, thought, well, if something comes of it, something comes of it, but it looked like it was playful. And it was on the network broadcast, I believe, when they cut to the network for the end of the Daniel Bryan segment, because Bryan had already gone backstage when this happened. Vince was about to do the same. Titus O'Neil reaches out and grabs him. Vince shoves him. If you listen to Wade Keller and I discuss it on the PW Torch livecast yesterday, Wade was kind of breaking it down as we were talking. He hadn't seen it yet. And he said both Triple H and Stephanie seemed to be smiling. Everything seemed like it was all in fun and games. And Jake, 90 days apparently, or at least up to 90 days, they have suspended Titus O'Neil. Your initial reaction to the news that, a suspension for touching Vince McMahon is stiffer than a suspension for a wellness policy violation.
Yeah, that really sticks out. The punishment just does not seem to fit the crime here. I mean, I guess maybe it was the sensitivity of the moment, being that it was Brian's retirement ceremony and, horsing around when they were probably staging that shot, of the McMahons walking to the back in kind of a somber mood for a DVD release or a network special, and he ruined it, that kind of thing. Like, I that's the only thing I could think of, but I think it was Ryan Satin over at Pro Wrestling Sheet that posted to Twitter that WWE has confirmed that it is a 90-day suspension.
My God. Internally, I can tell you that this is being labeled a suspended due to unprofessional conduct is what is being said internally about this. And I guess here's the thing. If Vince was pissed in the moment, we couldn't tell. Because you couldn't get a reaction to Vince. All you saw was the shove, but then you could see Triple H and Stephanie kind of smiling about it. And you can say, well, maybe they were just playing it cool. What are you going to do in that situation? If Vince, in the moment, was just being playful, they have that kind of relationship where he just shoved him back and all in good fun, and then got to thinking about it, I think it's just kind of a ridiculous move. If Vince was hot at the time, like let's say Triple H and Stephanie didn't know, so they just kind of smiled in reaction. Vince was really ticked off. I'm a little more understanding of it. It's just one of those things where, like you said, it was the end of a segment, not the time and place to do it. And if that's it was his initial reaction, okay. But it sure sounds like this punishment wasn't issued until the next day at SmackDown. And so I guess for me, does that matter to you, Jake, what Vince, like if they went backstage and laughed about it, and then on Tuesday, Titus gets to the building thinking, hey, everything's fine, and then finds out, oh, by the way, it's not such a good thing. Then I have a little more of an issue than I do if, like, no, Vince was ticked the entire time.
Yeah, I guess it's impossible to know, unless we get more information out of this. I mean, I'm as surprised as anybody that it's as long as it is for what appeared to be a playful interaction. But, I mean, we don't really know what Vince's mood was at the time, and we don't know, how ticked he was on Tuesday. So it's kind of an open, open thing until we get more information.
How troublesome is it, though, going back to this, that it's three times the length of a drug suspension, a wellness policy violation? Is that a major issue for you? Do you feel like it's just too much?
Well, I mean, how long was Daniel Bryan fired for choking Justin Roberts with a necktie?
Yeah, he was outright fired. That's right, yeah.
So, I mean, I guess I don't know. But, I mean, it depends on where this came from. I mean, it might be one of those things where it's like, well, you touched Vince, you crossed a line, and that's the end of it. I don't know what kind of relationship he and Vince have, if this is part of their normal banter. But since it was televised, it could have been a situation where, board of directors or HR or some corporate initiative kicked in and they said, well, we got to punish him, and let's just do it.
I want to know more about the story, and I'm certainly going to continue to ask around about it. But if they have that type of relationship backstage, it doesn't mean it necessarily carries over on stage. There is a time and a place, and I can actually relay a Jason was an idiot in high school story. I remember before a football game, I thought I had a good relationship with one of my teachers who was an assistant coach, and so I took it upon myself to go grab his hat, take his hat playfully, thinking he would laugh and we'd have a good chuckle. My God, he was pissed, and I'll bet if you brought up my name to him today, he would still hate my guts. So you just, there's kind of a time and a place for things, and so looking back on my stupidity, I wonder if Titus is looking back and realizes that, yeah, this, maybe the punishment doesn't exactly fit the crime, but I could have handled myself a little bit differently. This wasn't the place to do it. The reaction so far from fans has just been a lot of outrage. Even Will Pruitt asking, like, I'm just paraphrasing here, but seemingly suggesting that, like, there's a little too much outrage for this. What has been your response to the way people have reacted to this?
I kind of anticipated that there was going to be more to this story when it happened. Like, it just looked really out of place to me, especially, you know, given the mood of the ceremony and how, you know, it just kind of caught everybody off guard when it happened. Like, it was an instant topic online immediately after it happened. You know, what the hell happened there? You know, so I guess I wasn't surprised to see that there was some punishment involved. And, you know, I am kind of surprised by the reaction to it. I think most of that has to do with the fact that it's like 90 days. Like, you know, you right. sit down and chew the guy out. But, man, it doesn't seem like taken away. I'm assuming he's probably not going to get paid during that period. So it's like you're going to take away a guy's livelihood because of a silly mistake like this. I mean, it does seem a little bit too much. But I understand, you know, where WWE could be coming from, too. You know, it's like this – he's the chairman of the board. You know, he is definitely the brand ambassador. Like, people think of Vince McMahon, and he is WWE. I mean, they're synonymous. And so, you know, to have him – horsing around with talent on television, you know, in a strange situation that's not scripted. It can send a weird message. So, I mean, they're probably just doing this to protect themselves in a way. And so I get it from that perspective, but it does seem like, man, you know, a couple of weeks or 30 days would have sent the same exact message and nobody would have thought twice about it.
Do you feel like WrestleMania should be factored into the punishment in terms of, hey, you know, 30 days, he can still not that I expect him to play a key role at WrestleMania, but a battle royal appearance, something like that. Would you, if it were your call to make, would that have been a factor where it's like, well, let's punish him, but let's not make him miss the biggest show of the year?
I mean, if it was my company and I had the only say in the matter, yeah, I think it would have factored into my decision making. I mean, it wouldn't seem right to me to toss out, you know, a year's worth of the guy's work so he couldn't appear on the biggest show of the year because he made, you know, what looked like a silly mistake that he anticipated would come across in humor. You know, he was smiling and laughing about it. So, yeah, I definitely wouldn't have tossed him out. You know, now I guess his suspension will go through May, so he'll definitely miss WrestleMania. You know, that's a heartbreaker.
Is there a way that the character can benefit from this? Daniel Bryan was brought back, and Titus O'Neil's not even gone. He's just suspended. Is there a way that if there's enough outrage over this, that maybe they have second thoughts over it? And even if they don't, when he comes back, do you think that there is any possibility that somehow, some way, Titus O'Neil is actually in a better place because of this whole thing?
I guess you can't rule it out, but there's just nothing about Titus that just, you know, that makes me think like he's going to come back with this chip on his shoulder and a completely new attitude and you know, kind of turn people's heads. Like, he seems like the guy that we see on TV, you know, smiling all the time, you know, constantly having a laugh and he's a charitable dude. I mean, we've all seen some of his exploits outside of the ring. You know, he's constantly doing stuff for the homeless, and he's won fatherhood awards. Like, it just doesn't seem like, you know, the kind of change that would actually get people to notice Titus would be something that would be in his personality.
Yeah, I don't see much either. I mean, I kind of fear for him when he gets back, what it's going to be like. Not that he'd won a bunch of matches until Monday. He lost on Monday, but it just kind of seemed like, well, they're throwing him a bone. They don't really have anything planned. He's just winning matches that he would win on Superstars, but he's winning them on Raw instead. So I don't know that he really benefits from this tremendously. I kind of fear that there's going to be, you know, the punishment is 90 days, and if it goes once he gets back, yeah, that's the punishment that you're gone, but what's the punishment in terms of what his push is going to be like? Is there going to be bad feelings? Is there going to be a grudge held over this? And I'm just not sure. And I guess final question or final thing for me anyway, if you have more to say about it, feel free, but what do you think the punishment would have been if, now I don't even think he was out there, Brock Lesnar had done the same thing, or insert, you know, anyone in a higher position on the card?
Nothing. We probably wouldn't have even heard about it. I wouldn't think. Maybe a talking to backstage if somebody had found it really inappropriate. I don't see WWE jeopardizing somebody who they feel would have actually brought in, you know, serious revenue for WrestleMania, you know, in a similar situation. I think this is just it's the right mix of the guy who did it and a willingness to punish somebody for stepping out of line that kind of added up to this situation here.
I'm with you. I mean, because it's easy to say, well, if it's, let's say it's Roman Reigns or Dean Ambrose. Well, okay, maybe they slap him on the wrist and compared to what they did with Titus, and it's 30 days. I don't think they're going to wreck their Fastlane main event over this. I really don't. And so I don't think there would be that type of punishment. Maybe a financial punishment, but at most, but you can also say, well, those guys didn't put themselves in this wacky position that Titus did. Switching over to it's been a wild Wednesday again. We found out this morning that CM Punk is undergoing back surgery today. If it's anything like my experiences with doctors, he probably did it first thing this morning. But so he may have already had this surgery, but Ariel Helwani over at MMAfighting.com is reporting that he's having surgery to repair a herniated disc. He says, my back has always bugged me. Figured it was just some wrestling shit. Turns out it was. It got bad enough to the point where I couldn't do anything the week before I went to train with the New Jersey Devils last month. One day I could manage, the next day I couldn't. I've been in agony for almost a month. And then he talked about some of the things that he tried to have done to fix the problem, and none of them worked. And he also called it a bump in the road. He did also reveal that he found out on Saturday, which is, the timing is interesting, because that's when he was at the UFC event where Mickey Gall won his fight over Michael Jackson to earn the right to face Punk at what was expected to be UFC 199. And he kept it to himself. Now, when he says that, we don't know, did he keep it to himself and didn't tell Dana White, or did he just keep it from the media? I think that's there's a big difference there, and I'm just not sure where things stand on that. The instant reaction from a lot of people is, this guy is never going to fight. You know, where do you stand on that? I mean, do you think that it just he's just going to keep, whether I don't think it's like he never intended to. I don't believe that at all. But do you believe that once he clears this hurdle, that there's just going to be something else that comes up, and maybe this is just never going to happen?
Well, I'd be lying if the thought had never crossed my mind. I mean, I you see, you know, the consistent amounts of delays that have gone into setting up his first fight, and you know, I could see why people would get that impression, because I've thought about it on numerous occasions too, where it's like, you know, there's a lot of things that have happened in the UFC since he signed. I mean, when CM Punk made headlines signing with the UFC, you know, GSP had just gone out, and Anderson Silva had a broken leg, you know, they were lacking star power, and it was kind of one of those moments where UFC kind of got back into the media limelight after a lot of people had, you know, wrote them off because they hadn't put a good card together in quite a long time. And so, you know, and since then you've had, you know, Ronda Rousey dethroned and Conor McGregor kind of coming into his own, and they're putting together some better cards. It's like, I don't know where CM Punk is going to fit into this promotion by the time he's healthy enough and willing to have a fight. Like, I can see them, you know, cutting his deal short or him walking away if he just gets his ass handed to him in his first fight.
I'm guessing he's undergoing a discectomy. They didn't clarify. I've actually had two of those done in my lifetime, and the normal recovery time for an average Joe like me was like, I think, 6 weeks. I was able to get back and do normal activities without any restrictions. John Sullivan and the Vikings, Minnesota Vikings football team, had that procedure done, and it was kind of that was the estimated timeline even for him. I think it was 6 to 8 weeks or something like that with him, maybe 4 to 6, but somewhere in that range, and then he'd be able to get back to heavy lifting and doing all of his usual things, getting ready to get back on the field. It wasn't a season-ending injury, but in training, he ended up having another issue and aggravating this and had to undergo another surgery, and so he was out for the year. That doesn't seem all that common, Jake, with my knowledge of these, but, I mean, is there that fear that because of what he does, even if he follows their medical advice to a T and it does everything he's supposed to, that because of, I don't know how much heavyweight training he's doing, but just the physical activity that he does as part of his MMA training, that this, he could end up aggravating this, and this could, you know, this could turn out to be more than just a 6-8 week setback.
You never know. I mean, back injuries are sensitive, and we don't know what other injuries that he's nursing along. I mean, he's almost 40 years old, and he had a long wrestling career. I mean, there's no telling, you know, what parts of his body are in good condition versus others. I know, you know, he mentioned when, you know, he retired or left abruptly from WWE, you know, the first interview he did with Colt Cabana following that, he said his back was sore, his knees were sore, his shoulders were bad. I mean, it just doesn't sound like he's anywhere near the prime of his life in terms of physical condition. So call me a skeptic, but I don't know where he ends up with this. It's very possible that, you know, the further he gets along in his MMA training, the more these injuries that he nursed for years are going to come back to haunt him.
I think he will end up fighting. I think the only way he doesn't end up fighting is if something comes up medically where he just can't. Let's say this surgery, you know, just worst case scenario with this surgery, like if something happens again, and or it's the damage is worse, just something medically that says he can't do it. And then there's going to be a lot of people saying, calling it a ruse and all of that, saying he was never going to fight. Trust me, I know people close to the situation. This is something that he has taken very seriously. He is training aggressively for. This isn't a ruse. This isn't a guy just, you know, doing what he was doing before, going to basic jiu-jitsu training and other, and not taking it seriously. I mean, not that he didn't take that training seriously before, but I mean, just he is very much taking the fight game seriously. And I think Punk is the type that, yeah, that this is a setback, but I don't think he wants to eat crow. I don't think, you know, he's got, everyone has some level of ego to them. And I think he really is going to hear the critics saying, we knew you're never going to do this. And the only thing that's going to stop him from actually having at least one fight is a doctor saying, sorry, you can't do this. I really believe he's going to do this at some point, Jake.
Well, I think he'll get to one fight. I think the turning point will be, you know, after he goes out there and he gets hit, what happens? You know, that's the thing that that stopped Brock Lesnar from going back to the UFC. Like, you know, as tough and as good as Brock Lesnar was at in the UFC, it's like it's hard to get hit in the face and want to come back and do it again. Like, you know, it's an entirely different level of psychology. So I'm not disagreeing with you at all that I think Punk is determined to have a fight. I just don't know if he has a second one.
Yeah, it's very possible. Now, I don't follow MMA closely these days. Do you know much about – did you watch this Mickey Gall guy? I mean, is Punk getting in there with a guy? I know he's inexperienced. He has a 2-0 overall record, just 1-0 in the UFC, and by all accounts, that Michael Jackson opponent might as well have been – the real Michael Jackson. It is what people were saying who follow this a little closer. He just wasn't a strong opponent. But I mean, have you followed it closely enough to get a feel for what Gall brings to the table?
Not closely. So I know, you know, a little, just a hair more, you know, than you just said. You know, he's an inexperienced fighter. He won, you know, that fight, in a way that left him unhurt. And so, you know, that from that perspective, you know, he's ready to fight again very quickly. And it was an impressive victory over, over an opponent that he should have beaten. But, you know, that's as good as it's gotten for him. I think, you know, UFC is setting up CM Punk with a fight that that he could win, you know, instead of putting him in there against competition that everyone would expect him to lose against. And so, you know, that's good for Punk. You know, putting him in there with someone who has a limited amount of experience is exactly what he needs. So when that fight happens, I think it'll be competitive. It'll just be a matter of, you know, how CM Punk's body holds up, because he's going to be fighting someone that's much younger and has, you know, little to no injury history to speak of.
I'm curious to see if Gall fights again, or if it's like, if he's assured, like, well, you'll get the fight with Punk either way. You know, if you have a 1-1 UFC record, so be it. Then I think he'd probably be like, oh, yeah, I'll do it. Otherwise, if I'm him, I want that Punk fight. I want to sit back. Because, I mean, that's the one. He's not going to have more high-profile opportunity during his career. We'll continue to follow that one, obviously. We'll see what happens. Obviously, UFC 199 will not be the place. They were going to – I think Punk wanted to fight at UFC 200. Dana White, I think, logically wanted Punk on a different show. UFC 200 is loaded. And why not find out what Punk brings to the table as far as being a drawing card, as far as the drawing power is concerned, and load up, have two different shows where you can end up with some big numbers. But we'll have to wait on that one. Final thing today, WWE will be releasing their quarterly financial and year-end numbers on Thursday morning. I'll be up bright and early getting the financial stuff out there. And then I will have live coverage of the Vince McMahon and George Barry conference call that will take place 10 a.m. Central, 11 Eastern. And it's usually interesting, and because along with this, we find out the WWE Network number. And Jake, last time the number came in, this was at the end of October. I'm guessing it was for the end of September is when the actual number was tallied. 1.233 million paid subscribers. What are you expecting tomorrow? An increase, a decrease? Tell me what you're thinking.
I am honestly thinking that we're going to see a fairly flat number here. I mean, I'm completely, you know, expecting them to see a little bit of a drop, but I think the best that I'm expecting is a flat number, because you look at, you know, what their TV numbers did in between their prior reporting period and the one we expect to see you know, later this week, and it's you know, they lost quite a bit of television viewers in that period, and I can't imagine you know, they're going to have a lot of increase in paid subscribers, you know, during a period where they lost television viewers. So I'm going to estimate that we see, you know, a little bit of a decrease, possibly a flat number. I guess it depends on how well, you know, the Royal Rumble did from a, you know, from a hype perspective, if people were really buying into it.
Well, that won't be counted, I don't think, in this. I think it's just through the end of
December 31st. So yeah, definitely I would expect a small decrease, possibly a flat number then.
They did give us Lesnar Taker again. They didn't, you know, they did a much better job at SummerSlam of building that matchup than they did for the I think it was Survivor Series match that they had. I don't know that that's going to be enough. I'm with you. I think it's going to be mostly flat, maybe a little bit down. The thing to keep in mind as far as potential growth is that, you know, it's still expanding. Now Japan and I think it was Germany didn't kick off until the first of the year, but, you know, who knows? I mean, I think that getting those cards that you can go buy, where you don't have to sign up online and give all your information, you can just go to your local Walmart or wherever and buy these cards and get 3 months subscription, will help long term. I think they'd be smart just to do it for $9.99. It's an easy impulse buy, but I think, you know, it's things like the growth of the network, people becoming more familiar with the technology. That's where I think any potential growth would come from. But I don't expect like major growth. I don't expect there to be a major drop. But it's always going to be interesting to see how WWE puts their spin on it and then how Wall Street reacts. And so we will find out all of that information tomorrow. Jake, you and I are going to get together for .NET Weekly. That is a member-exclusive audio show. We will be discussing, obviously, the quarterly numbers that come out. We'll have a lot to say about the Daniel Bryan situation and any other news that comes up. The way this day is going, there could be a lot more. Who knows? But thank you very much for joining me today, and I look forward to getting together with you tomorrow.
Thanks for having me. I expect we'll have quite a few things to talk about tomorrow.
And there goes Jake. I do want to mention also our question of the week. We are looking for your favorite Daniel Bryan memories. If throughout his career, doesn't have to be WWE, can certainly be before that. If you have any personal interaction with Daniel Bryan, anything like that that you would like to share and possibly be read during Friday's ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Show. Members, as always, you can leave your answers in the forum in the .NET audio section. Non-members, you are welcome to email me at dotnetjason@gmail.com. Spell it out, dotnetjason@gmail.com. If by any chance you didn't visit ProWrestling.net yesterday, I strongly encourage you to do so to check out some of the fine work that the staffers did regarding the Daniel Bryan retirement. Will Pruitt, Jake, who you just heard, Hayden Gleed, all had pieces on Daniel Bryan's retirement. You can also check out my WWE Raw hit list, which where I gave my reaction to that as well. Before getting into more details on the show on the site today, certainly the Titus O'Neil story. Dr. Shelby has said goodbye. Bye to Daniel Bryan in video form. The actor plays Dr. Shelby, put out a fun video about 90 seconds in length. We have that up on the site today. You can check that out. The Punk Story, the Stone Cold podcast airing live on Monday with Big Show as special guest. Hopefully it's live. They listed the last couple as being live, and then no, they weren't. They were tape shows, but hopefully they're going back live with that. Coming up tonight, Zach Zimmerman will have live coverage of the NXT television show, and then on Thursday morning, John Moore will be by with his review of the Lucha Underground television show. Jake, we just heard, is going to be back on Thursday night with WWE SmackDown live coverage. We mentioned that .NET Weekly will be available tomorrow for members. That is our flagship show, often contains first-run news items that have not been reported elsewhere. If you are interested in membership, you want to hear that show and enjoy all the perks of membership to the ad-free version of the site, you enjoy this audio content, just know there's a ton more available exclusively to members every single week. You can visit the main page at ProWrestling.net, look in the sign-up area. Once you're there, you'll find three different pricing options, and take the one that works best for you. Membership rates start at $7.50 for 1 month. You'll get a price break at the six-month option, and if you go to all the way to a year, you can bring that $7.50 price tag down to an average of $5.50 by taking the annual option. That's it for today, everybody. I will be back tomorrow and again on Friday. So until next time, take care.